We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about a project that I'm working on here at Blue Wire called Blue Wire Hustle. It's a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to a next level. Or if you just want to host a podcast and you don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place to do that. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art. We got Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to community Discord, and also an e-learning course that's full of tips and tricks and lots of things that we used actually to grow Bronx Pinstripes as well. On top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple and Spotify and Google and Stitcher and Amazon and all the other listening platforms that now exist. And the best part is you only get this for $15 a month. It's the same exact rate, really, if not cheaper, than most hosting sites would charge you just for an initial setup and a monthly fee. So whether you're starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to level up your sports experience. Get that audio tight. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more information, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 508, an emergency episode because the long-awaited news, finally, we've been waiting for it all offseason. The Yankees have reportedly agreed to a $1.7 million deal with international free agent Hans Montero.
Do not call me Jesus. Don't call me Jesus. The other Montero, we got him. We got him.
Not that guy. Not the report. It's funny because it was tweeted like 30 seconds after the DJ LeMahieu news. And it's like, who is this guy? International free agent, whatever. Of course, we're here to talk about LeMahieu. 6 years, 90 mil. Interesting
deal,
contract.
Baby.
Interesting.
You know what? We're stupid because the timing actually is makes a lot of sense. Dude, because the arbitration payouts are all finalized and everybody knows where the money is. And now they can, you know, do the team-friendly deal that DJ LeMahieu just signed with us, because that's exactly what it is. It's a team-friendly deal.
I thought it was
he took a hometown discount.
I thought it was because 4 or 5 days ago, there's reports that he's dismayed. And it's like, whoa, DJ's dismayed? We can't have that. Got to get a deal done.
Yeah. No, look, I don't care about anything that happened in the past with the delay or anything like that. It is done. I don't care how long it is. It's done. I don't care how much it's for. It's done. None of these things matter to me.
The Yankees
at the end
care.
Of the day, at the end of the day, I just want this man signed. He signed on the paper.
And he's signed.
That being said, the contract itself, what we say, six years. This is all like not 1,000% finalized, right? But Passan's putting it out.
It'd be our luck. There. We'd put this podcast up and then the deal would fall through.
It's pretty much there. But that being said, 6 years at $90 million is a good deal for DJ LeMahieu when it probably is actually...
You mean it's a good deal for the team?
It's a good deal for the team. Sorry, I meant for getting DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
It is really, when I'm looking at this, clearly it's a way for the Yankees to be flexible, right, with the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a four-year deal. It's a four-year, $90 million deal is what it looks like. And then they added the other two Bobby Bonilla years to spread things out and make life easier for the team. And so that the Yankees could spend more money on players, DJ's going out there saying, you know what? I want to win a championship. Let's go under the luxury tax so that we can figure out some more things. Let's make this happen. Makes me love him even more.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, it's obviously to smooth out the luxury tax penalty. Or hit because it's 15 million annual value instead of close to 20 million annual value, which is what maybe a lot of people projected him to get. And in fact, John Heyman reported the Blue Jays offer to LeMahieu was 4 years and 78 million, which is $19.5 million annual value, which entering the offseason, you and I figured it was going to be around 20 million annual value to get LeMahieu.
Yeah.
But that was obviously a big priority for the Yankees was to get him lower because they want to stay under the luxury tax penalty, or they don't want to blow it out of the water on just DJ LeMahieu. I understand that. And they are putting more emphasis on saving luxury tax money now than they are potentially dealing with $15 million in dead weight DJ LeMahieu when he's 38 years old.
Right. And, but again, if that was going to be a four-year deal and DJ's, you know, confident that he's not going to be signing another contract after this, no matter what, after that 4 years, then does it really matter for him? Probably not. Not at all. If that's the belief going into this, but it does help the Yankees because they're able to spread it out and, you know, have a significantly smaller hit on the luxury tax. So
yeah, for a long time, we always said sign the player for more expensive, but shorter years because you don't want to be stuck with him aging on the back end, but this is the complete opposite.
He's going to be 33 years old on July 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in 4 years, that's 37 years old. It's pretty safe to say that you're not going to get a $15 million contract at 37 years old. I'd say that's pretty safe, yeah?
Those contracts don't happen anymore now that steroids are not rampant throughout
the game. Who knows in 4 years? A lot of things can happen in 4 years. Steroids might be legal. Who the hell knows? But my point is that it doesn't matter whether it was a 4 or 6 year deal as much because at the time of the 4 year deal being over, he's not getting another big contract anyway. So he's like, you know what? Spread it out for two. It's those 2 more years to help the luxury tax because those $15 million that would be there anyway, if I were playing, would be more than I would get on the open market.
Exactly. He was not going to get $90 million over the next 6 years. He was not going to get more than $90 million over the next 6 years by signing a shorter contract for more expensive dollars now and then another contract at the end. Because you're right. He's not going to sign a two-year $30 million contract when he's going to be 37 years old.
No. So essentially, you're giving the man the money for what could be 4 years. I mean, if you're looking at the Yankees, you're probably hoping 3 to 4 years out of this deal, right? When we're looking at this contract later, you know, in year 5 and 6, like I'm not going to care at all about year 5 and 6.
Depends.
Truthfully.
It totally depends.
No, I don't think it does depend because
how he does in years 1 through 3.
But it wouldn't matter. That's my point. My point is that the last 2 years of this deal don't matter at all when you're judging it because in the end, he's a $20 million player and they got a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be 4 years and $80 million, which is $20 million annual value. But it's what we talked about last week or last episode when the comps that his camp were using was Josh Donaldson, who signed a 4 year $94 million deal, which is the comp for an infielder of similar age.
But that comp is significantly higher AAV. But again, that's goes
total
back
value,
to
it's about the same.
Right, total value, but
yeah,
you're looking at 2 years. That's why I don't believe those 2 years really matter. I really think that it seems like that those 2 years were more of a, you know, let's just make this a little bit more flexible for us because you're not going to be getting more than $15 million after that.
You look at the luxury tax. So last year, 2020, the Yankees did exceed the luxury tax. And now I know it's all adjusted. So I'm not even going to get into numbers for 2020 because of the shortened season. Like the numbers are all out of whack. But if you go on Spot Track.
Now you said it right the first time.
It seems to be updated with LeMahieu's $15 million contract. So the Yankees' total luxury tax payroll estimate as of today, if they don't do any more moves, is $199.766 million, which is about $10.23 million under the luxury tax, which will be set at $210 million. I expect them to do more things because they need to. If they want to win a World Series, they can't just leave the roster as is. So they have a little bit of room to play with, but not a ton of room if they are really trying to be under the luxury tax threshold. And it's not like you go into the season at $209 million, because then that leaves you no flexibility for acquiring players mid-year if you need to acquire a pitcher mid-year. That's going to put you over the top, and you don't want to go over the luxury tax. We can't do that if you're right up against it. So if they are going to stay under 210 and they want to sign free agent pitchers, it's going to be like scrap heap guys.
Well, I mean, if it's a mid-year deal, also there's a prorated contract too, so I mean it won't be full depending on, you know, the what it looks like for that year and what their deal is. But yeah, they're not going to be doing crazy things, I don't think. Via trade could be an avenue where they add and subtract money. There's potential there. But
yep,
if they're staying under the luxury tax.
Or you acquire a cheap player somehow.
Yeah, someone that's pitcher. Younger, that has controllable years, and you're giving up something that... There's an opportunity to do that. Because there's actually not that much salary to shed via trade unless a blockbuster happens. And even if that were to happen, I would assume the Yankees would probably absorb some money. But there's not a lot. Cashman's going to have to be creative, because mm-hmm. if they are staying under the luxury tax, if that's the priority, if that's one of the things that they're doing, Trevor Bauer is, that's out, it's done, that's not yep. happening. Would it surprise me that that's not the case and the Yankees go out and blow it out again? No, it would not. But
well, then why would
doing,
you sign LeMahieu for 6 years, 15, if you're just going to blow it out?
You're right. No, that's an indicator to me that they are even more of an indicator, because I firmly believe that this was a deal that was not 6 years when they talked, but then it stretched to 6 years as a way to make it more friendly for the team.
Because if your goal as a team is to stay under the luxury tax, this deal does give you more flexibility.
Sure.
But if your goal as a team, it doesn't matter with luxury tax, this deal gives you less flexibility because it's longer.
How do you get an angry machine on your team? You make him go stretch his deal out to get under the luxury tax, and then you go out and blow it out of the water by signing someone else.
I don't think he's angry at this. He's still $90 million
he's
in his
not
pocket.
Angry.
I mean, he's, you know, take out the 10% for agent fees and all that kind of crap. But you know what I mean? This is still $90 million to him, no matter which way you cut it.
This is a good deal. I'm wearing my DJ LeMahieu is my MVP shirt. It's the day to wear it. The man,
you know,
is back in pinstripes.
I'm wearing modern day Murderer's Row, which nice. Has Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez on it. But I think this needs to be revised. And the current Murderer's Row is DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, I guess Brett Gardner, because that's where Aaron Boone bats him third.
Yeah, that would be a good one. We could make a different shirt.
Who's the third best Aaron Boone
lineup?
Who's the hitter you want up third? Like, who's the, not batting third, but after LeMahieu and Judge is like the two players you want up, who's the third guy you want up?
Stanton.
Okay. So so Stanton is your third most confident.
I'm not usually in Murderer's Row shirts though. When you're looking at those, you're looking at the power guys and not going to put in the DJ LeMahieu type, but
DJ LeMahieu murders opposing pitching.
Does murder opposing pitching. And he's definitely a 30 home run guy. Pretty damn close to a 30 home run guy. He's a 30
no, home he's run. Not. Let's not do this.
We haven't gotten to bowl predictions yet.
That usually happens first week of spring training or last week of spring training. I mean, so this deal totally indicates to me that their priorities stay under the luxury tax, which means maybe a Corey Kluber signing for cheap money.
Tanaka.
Maybe
I think it brings Tanaka back into play, to be honest.
But so they have $10 million and change to work with. So is Sinakhan going to sign for like $6 million?
Not $6 million, but yeah, there could be a some kind of a friendly deal that I don't think Tanaka's getting much love on the free agent market. We're seeing what these guys are signing for, and I think that was part of why LeMahieu, you know, took this offer as well. He's got stability now for the remainder of his career. Tanaka might not be getting over $10 million on the free agent market.
But I like $5 to $6 million for him seems really cheap.
It does seem really cheap.
I don't see him signing that. I see him going back to Japan before he signs that.
Yeah, he could probably get much more than that in Japan.
And if you're thinking like an incentive-laden deal for Kluber or Paxton, well, incentives also affect your luxury tax. So if the incentives of the contract allows for the player to make $15 million, guess what? That's your luxury tax hit.
Yeah.
That's not your real dollars hit, but that's your luxury tax hit.
They're going to have to do something creative in order to fill this rotation out, or we're going in with a bunch of kids, which is,
scary.
Exciting. At the same time, to me, unnecessary. Like if you're going to dick around at this, see, this is the problem with the New York Yankees now. For me, this is a problem. When we're this close to a luxury tax threshold, And we're handcuffed by it. I don't want to be handcuffed by any amount of money.
The Yankees when you're should the not Yankees. Be handcuffed by money.
Right. So the fact that they would have to dick around and tinker and not go for the players that they need to fill out the roster, just because of that is, as a fan of this team, it does not sit great with me.
I'm ecstatic that the Yankees re-signed DJ LeMahieu because he's honestly. This is going to sound corny. He's a joy to watch play baseball.
Yes.
Okay? Like, he is fun to watch.
He is a joy to watch baseball.
When you watch the Yankees play baseball, I have probably the most fun watching him play the game because of the way he does it and how it's different than a lot of the other players. But this is kind of, to me, like, bittersweet because I see them now caring about luxury tax. And I'm like, well, how... This team's not good enough to win a World Series just because you re-signed DJ LeMahieu. And if you're not going to go over...
It was the absolute least thing they had to do. They had to sign him.
Just to get back to baseline,
it was the number one
ALDS
thing to do,
exit.
And that was not an addition. That's not an addition. That's just like, okay, let's keep this team together.
They also picked up Britain's options. So the things that they've done this offseason are just retain players they needed to retain.
Yes.
They have not made any additions. So going into next year, if you're not going to add anything else significant, I'm like, well, shit. Like, how are they going to get through four rounds of the playoffs? I don't care about the regular season anymore. I do not care about the
regular season. So do you think that Brian Cashman also is looking at that and says, I have time. I have time to make these additions when I can really find out what's happening mid-season, when I can check out what the landscape
maybe,
is. There's the Yankees, free agent market is really not there. It's the trade market. The trade market is where they're going to be, you know, adding to this team, right? Like that's where maybe a Corey Kluber on something, something that's, you know, even incentives would probably keep it pretty low for a guy like Kluber.
I think if Kluber or Paxton are going to sign a deal, it's going to be a 1-year deal because if they pitch well, they don't want to have to lock themselves in. They want to set themselves up. So you might be able to get Paxton or Kluber for like 1 year, $5 million because they can prove they're good again and healthy, and then they can sign a massive deal. And then you say, thank you very much for your contributions. See you never.
So because of the fact that free agency, there's not a ton there that it's going to add unless you're going and blowing this up and going Trevor Bauer. Why not wait? Why not let the landscape
kind of
figure
out
what's going on?
Win the AL East, I think.
They can roll out of bed. Then the AL East got worse, like significantly worse.
Yep. And now
the Blue Jays did not add any of the people that they thought they were going to add. Maybe George Springer's in the play, but they got nobody. They didn't get better.
I see the Yankees because their rotation will probably, their pitching staff as a whole will be decent enough to win a bunch of regular season games because it has been for the past few years because their offense will score a bunch of runs and their pitching will keep them in a ton of games and they'll just win baseball games. They're going to win.
It doesn't even have to be decent. Yeah, yeah. And like you're overstating how even good it has to be because it doesn't even have to be that way. They're going to score a ton of runs.
Again, I'm not worried about making the playoffs, obviously. I'm not really even that concerned with winning the AL East because even if it doesn't happen,
guess what? You're just still in the playoffs, which is the goal.
Okay, so
anyway,
let's roll this scenario out real quick. We don't add it. Nothing is added to free agency. We're saying that the Yankees have not done anything, and that's not improving their chances. But we acknowledge that the trade market is probably the best route for the Yankees to improve the team. So there can be a delay on that. You may have to pay a higher price with prospects and talent and all those things later in the season, but they've done that 100 times. They have no problem doing that. That being said, they will know more about what their prospects are, what the younger pitching is as well. They will know more about what Severino is midseason. They will know more about where his health is, where he feels, all of these things. So they will have a much better grasp of where they live in the landscape of the American League at that point. And then they can go out and try to foster some deals with,
sure,
you know, what's probably a much more, a much more loaded list of guys that can help you at that point.
I guess right? That's their plan. That's probably going to be their plan.
That seems like a reasonable plan at this point.
Does that tickle my fancy?
It doesn't tickle your fancy, but it seems like at this point when I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, again, Trevor Brouwer, if it's not him, I don't know who we're going out to make a big splash. It's going to be like, yep, got it. World Series time. There's not that guy unless they're making a trade. And if the trade market, we have months and months and months to do that.
I know. I'm stumbling for my words because you're right. And there's nothing to say to that. It's just, let's wait and see how the rotation pans out and what they can add some point this season.
Okay. So here's what we're doing here. Everybody, let's listen up. We are leveling expectations. We're going in with some expectations. This is good news. Okay. We're taking a new approach right now. And I'm really happy about this because I feel like it's going to help you out quite a bit, to be honest. So we're going to look at this first half of the season, and you know what we're going to look at? We're going to look at a lot of kids in the rotation, and it's going to be fun. We're going to watch them develop. It's going to be like 2016 all over again, but in the pitching staff. And we're going to see these guys, earn their keep so that the Yankees don't have to go out and make that trade. So now, because the American League and the regular season doesn't really matter during the regular season, we know that what's going to happen, we need to get to the playoffs. That's the end result. So we got a little bit of time to let these kids grow, to let them flourish and blossom into the flowers that they may or may not be. This is exciting.
Here's my problem with this. The goal still is to win the World Series, and anything less than that for this team is a failure.
Sure.
So
I agree with that.
Even if the kids, like you talk about, start to pan out. I don't think the Utes plus Gerrit Cole is good enough to win a World Series.
You don't know what the Utes are going to be in September, in August. You don't know what Severino is going to be in August, September. You don't know that.
I don't think they're going to be good enough.
If Severino is healthy, then now you're adding a guy that's got a potential. I mean, he is a number one at his peak. He's a number one.
You have to look at what pitchers do when they come back from Tommy John.
I understand that.
The first season back, they're not pitching full strength. They're just not.
But they will know they will have a much better idea of what he is at that point. Because if he is contributing, and Domingo Germán, again, another really big unknown here with potential to, he flashed 2-3 potential. And he flashed more than that, actually, when he flashed. But I don't know. The more I'm thinking about this and identifying what is out there in the current market space, there's just not much to do unless you're going Trevor Brouwer.
I could see us talking in late June and saying, oh, man, like Devi Garcia has really been consistent this year. And Jordan Montgomery took a step forward. And obviously, Gerrit Cole is still pitching well. It would be great to have those three going into the playoffs. But guess what? They still need to do something at the deadline. They can't just go in with those guys. So even if the kids start to pan out, you still need to add.
But that's fine. But they have time to do that. At least at that point, they will know what they have. And they may be in desperation mode at that point. That's a very good possibility. If these guys are not panning out the way that they want, Severino is having hiccup after hiccup coming back, and we're not seeing, it ends up being 2022, which would not be the least the most surprising thing in the world. Then they may get into desperation mode because they understand they still have to win a World Series and now we're overpaying. That could be as well. That's a risk. That's a big risk. But
yeah, there's maybe ways they can.
Brian Cashman's letting the market come to him almost. That's what's happening.
Do you think their goal might be for the next couple, like next month, see how they can dump salary? Like, can they get someone to take half of Adam Ottavino's contract? Can they get someone to.
I mean, they still need bullpen arms too. So. We lost Tommy Canley, which is a big deal.
I know, but if they can offload $4 or $5 million of Adam Ottavino and just replace him with minor league arms. Like, I think that's probably in the long run favorable.
Unless Adam Ottavino, can figure something out and get that frisbee over the plate.
There's not many places
a value add.
There's not many places you can dump salary.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you're saying this, like they can just go do that. There's really not many places to do that.
He's the only guy I could think of. Everyone else is not going anywhere.
Right.
Or they're not making a lot of money. Like Luke Voigt's not making a lot of money.
Right.
Gio Urshela is not making a lot
of money. Giancarlo Stanton's not going anywhere.
Right.
There's not there. They don't have much flexibility when it comes to the payroll right
which
now.
Which is why they just need to win a World Series and say, fuck this luxury.
But again, that's exactly it. We're saying they don't have flexibility, but that's in reference to a luxury tax that should not be part of the conversation.
It's frustrating when you're the Yankees. I get it. It's a business. I don't need to be lectured on the business and the fact
they lost
Hal
the most amount of money.
I know.
In baseball,
I know.
Andrew.
Poor Hal. But it would be a real shame if we look back in 3 years from now and say they just didn't go for it in these next couple of years, and that they because they didn't want to go over the luxury tax and they didn't win a World Series.
Yeah, that would rub me. That would be a bad thing to be looking back on. I really hope we don't have to do that.
Oh man! Well, this is supposed to be.
It's hard
episode.
To say that when they just signed Gerrit Cole to the best pitcher in baseball to a massive deal. It's really
right.
It's so really crazy that we're even saying that.
Why are you so worried about the luxury tax? Then is what I asked. That would be my first question to Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner.
And he might write a check to Trevor Bauer tomorrow and shut us up. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because of the LeMahieu structure.
But again, that would be going for it. No, that's really the move.
Of course,
that
would be going for it.
Okay,
so yeah, I mean, that's obviously the splash move that goes for it. But there are other ways that you can just really add depth to this team and go over the luxury tax, like signing a few pitchers for a collective $25 million. You get three pitchers for $25 million or something like that.
I mean, who's just going to move the needle on a World
Series?
You're
providing depth.
When you're adding, but that doesn't go back to your World Series point. Depth doesn't get you a championship.
Maybe not.
Especially when the regular season has been, made practically irrelevant. Depth doesn't get it. You have to make the splash move. You got to make the guy, you got to get the impact player that's going to shove.
So then that's a trade.
It's a trade, or it's signing Trevor Bauer. Like, those are the impact moves. There's no other impact move on the market right now unless there's a trade for somebody that we just don't know. Maybe they're going after Castillo from Cincinnati. Like, that to me is a potential, workaround where Cashman's getting flexible with the money. That a move like that would not surprise me at all.
No, but I also would fear that's just another James Paxton, another Michael.
I mean, you
Pineda,
can fear all you want, but that's going for an arm that is a top flight arm.
Yep.
I'm not gonna knock him for going after a guy
I'm
like
not either.
That. Yeah.
They I guess you got to keep going back to the well. That's the only way to succeed at it. You got to keep trying. You got to keep throwing your darts.
Yeah.
All right. You're happy that LeMahieu's back, obviously. I'm happy that LeMahieu's back. Obviously, they needed him in this lineup desperately. I still think the lineup needs to get more diverse. So,
Clint Frazier, baby. Here we go. Clint Frazier's my guy. My new guy.
Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this news. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back at you sometime mid next week. Submit your mailbag questions and all that kind of good stuff. Anything else you want to say? You can't close every episode now with sign DJ LeMahieu. Maybe you want to say sign more pitching, get more pitching.
No, I mean, look, I'm to be honest, I just talked myself into waiting and looking at what the market is or let's make a trade. I'm ready for
exactly
Cashman.
What Brian Cashman wants.
Here's what I'm to, okay. To here, expect. here's how I'll break it down. Brian Cashman is on a mission now to redeem his name in acquiring a pitcher. He's going after that guy to shut everybody up, to put a little bow on his legacy, to win a World Series and acquire the pitcher that gets him to that point via trade.
Done. We'll see. It's the one black mark on his resume.
It is. Well, and the fact that he needs another World Series. So you could put two on there.
He needs another World Series that's really his construction. He needs a World Series that's his construction and not a prior GM's construction.
If he goes out and acquires an arm that helps them win a World Series, legacy cemented.
Of course. Also, because in theory, it would also be players like Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres and all the other people that Brian Cashman was responsible for acquiring, contributing to that World Series.
Yes.
Whereas 98, 99, 2000, that was all the Stick Mikel era that set that up. And even 2009, I mean, the core four was all still there.
Right.
I mean, Brian Cashman signed CC Sabathia and Mark Teixeira. I could have done that.
Yeah,
those
he just threw
best players on the market.
He threw a wad of cash at people. Yeah. He went out and made those moves. That being said, there are opportunities out there. I believe there are opportunities within baseball that he can go out and acquire somebody that's controllable, that will hit a bunch of the objectives that they're looking for and give the Yankees a much better opportunity to win a World Series. And like you said, that's it. That's the number one thing. Win a World Series. Top flight arms. Guys who can shove bats down people's throat in October. That's what we need.
He tried it with Jeff Weaver. Didn't work out. He tried it with Michael Pineda. Didn't work out. He tried it with James Paxton. Didn't work out. He tried it with Nathan Eovaldi. Didn't work out.
Sonny Gray.
Fifth time's a charm. Tried it with Sonny Gray. Didn't work out. Sixth time's a charm for Brian Cashman.
Maybe it's going back to the well.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.